It's broken. The Major League Baseball Hall of Fame process is broken. How do they fix it? Thursday edition of Locked On Cubs rolls now.
You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning and happy Thursday to you and yours. This is indeed Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Andrew Bellison. Locked On Cubs is proudly part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank you, before we get going, for taking the time each and every day to make Locked On Cubs your first listen of the day. We cannot tell you how much we appreciate it. Honest to goodness, you are what makes this show go. I'm just here along for the ride, and it's such a blast to talk baseball with you guys each and every morning. So please find us wherever you download your favorite cast. We are always free and always available. Awesome stuff to get to today. We're going to peruse the MLB lockout and CBA agreement updates as the two sides met face-to-face again. Big progress this week compared to the last 6 weeks. So that's good news in terms of the Major League Baseball front. We're also going to continue our tour of Wrigleyville. Where's your favorite spot to go pregame? How about postgame? Let us know. Engage with us on Twitter at Chicago Cubs PA at Locked On Cubs. Love to engage with Cubs fans, baseball fans on Twitter. So please reach out, say hello, give us your comments, questions, and concerns, and let us know where you're going to head come opening day, whenever that may be, before the ball game at Wrigley Field. But first and foremost, it's a Hall of Fame Thursday here at Locked On Cubs, and I just cannot help myself. I want to say this. Let me preface this Hall of Fame conversation. The Hall of Fame enshrined David Ortiz this week as the newest member of Cooperstown. Congratulations to him. He is a Hall of Fame player. His numbers warrant enshrinement into the Hall of Fame. 286 career average, 380 on base, 932 OPS, clubbed 541 home runs. Over 2,400 hits. Guy was a machine. Played for 20 years in the bigs. He was with the Twins in the late 90s. It seems unfathomable at this point that he was in the bigs that long. We just took it for granted. Big Poppy was always there smiling. And man, was he a great player. I love Big Poppy. The bat, the presence, that smile, the white teeth. I mean, he was so fun to watch. Had an illustrious career with the Red Sox. Red Sox Nation loves him. With all that said, the Hall of Fame process in the major leagues is broken. And I know this entire era is significantly complicated because of the steroid use of the mid to late 90s. I understand that. I don't have a solution for what's broke either, but I can't help myself. Today, I have to discuss this. First, let's look at the 2022 Hall of Fame results as voted on by the Baseball Writers Association of America. Big Poppy, the lone representative in this class from the BBWA, 77.9% of the vote he received on his first year on the ballot. First ballot Hall of Famer, David Ortiz. Second place, Barry Bonds, 66% short of the vote. Clemens, 65.2% short of the vote. Scott Rowland, 63%. Let me go down the list. Schilling, 58. Helton, 52. Billy Wagner, 51. Andrew Jones, 41. Sheffield, 40. A-Rod, 34, his first year on the ballot. Jeff Kent, 32. Manny Ramirez, 28. Omar Vizquel, 24. Sammy Sosa, 18.5. Andy Pettit, 10. Jimmy Rollins, 9. Abreu, 8. Mark Burley, 5. Torrey Hunter, 5. 10th and final year on the ballot, 4. Slammin' Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling. Adios, gentlemen. They are off, done. Will have to be elected another way if that is in their future. What is the significance here, you're asking yourself? Bonds, Sosa, Clemens, Schilling, all off the ballot. 10 years, not elected to this point. This show, Locked On Cubs, is not a hot take type of show. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not here looking for attention. I'm a baseball fan. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm a pretty even keel guy. But we have a mega problem with the Baseball Hall, and I'm not so sure that I, as a podcaster and baseball fan, or we as a league, say, have a solution. Let me preface this by saying this has nothing to do with David Ortiz. I think he's a Hall of Famer. This has nothing to do with the writers who vote for the Hall of Fame members. That is the ultimate honor. They're entitled to their opinion, and I respect the you-know-what out of them for what they do. For me, this is a twofold issue. With partiality to Sammy Sosa, this is a Cubs show. I'm a Cubs fan, and I make no apologies for this. I was a late 80s Chicago kid that grew up in the 90s in the suburbs, idolizing Sammy Sosa. He was baseball for me as a kid. Again, this is not an attack on any writer that has earned a Hall of Fame vote. That is the ultimate honor within the industry, and they deserve it. This is also not an attack, and I can't say this enough, on David Ortiz. I love Big Poppy. He is an all-star. He is a Hall of Famer, period. The guy's career was insane. PED linkage or not, he belongs in Cooperstown. He is where he needs to be. So congratulations. I'm not trying to rain on someone's parade here. I just want to get my point across. And having the Hall of Fame election results announced this week allow me to do it. Here's what I don't understand, Locked On family. So please help me with this if you can. Poppy gets in on his first time on the ballot. First ballot Hall of Famer, okay? He was linked to performance-enhancing drugs. Coinciding with this, four, not one, not two, not three, but four of the best players of my generation, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Roger Clemens, and Curt Schilling, two of which were arguably the best hitter and best pitcher of that era, are now not only in Cooperstown, but off the ballot for good. Moreover, and here's the Cubs connection. This is why we care here on Locked On Cubs. Sammy Sosa never got the love from the voters that some of the others in this tainted group that are linked to PEDs did. This year was no exception. As I said, just 18.5% of the vote this year. He's off the ballot. He's done. Where is the disconnect here? What am I missing? Don't give me that he cheated. He was a cancer in the clubhouse. He was a bad egg. I don't want that narrative. This is not a popularity contest. Or is it? Is that what this has turned into? A lot of people on social media and otherwise saying that David Ortiz is a likable guy. You're more willing to look past the PED linkage because of that. The numbers are there. Numbers are there for the other guys that I'm talking about too. Here's my beefs. There are already players enshrined in Cooperstown accused of performance-enhancing drug use, okay? How about this? The commissioner, Bud Selig, who piloted the ship during this era of baseball when performance-enhancing drugs were running rampant throughout the game, decided to turn a blind eye towards the goings-on, and guess what? He's in the Hall of Fame. Baseball created this monster and now wants to turn away from it and shun the characters that they essentially developed and act as if nothing happened. Or what about the generations of players that relied on the help of amphetamines, these guys from yesteryear, as part of their pregame routine? Some of them are already enshrined. Is there a difference? It's mind-numbingly frustrating to me as a diehard Cubs fan and a Sammy Sosa guy to see the way this has all gone on. Jim Bowden, former Major League executive, now with the Athletic, phenomenal content he produces. His tweet yesterday was super telling to me, and I'm going to read it. He said, "It's a sad day for the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum when the best players of their era, including Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, and Schilling, don't make it. I get the character clause, but there are multiple players that use PEDs that are in the hall. Maybe we should revisit the clause. Maybe that's not a bad idea. It's frustrating because part two of all this kind of coincides with part one. Cooperstown aside, Hall of Fame aside, the Chicago Cubs and Sammy Sosa, and maybe you think this is not related, but to me it is. The Chicago Cubs and Sammy Sosa need to make amends, period, end of story. I don't know who owes who an apology, and quite frankly, I don't care, and I'm unapologetic for this to the nth degree. This man, along with a handful of others, at a time after a strike-shortened season of 1994, saved the game. He saved your club and revolutionized the way the game was played. Look at the Bonds, San Francisco Giants relationship now after everything has gone down. Did you see the tweet the Giants sent out yesterday in support of Barry Bonds? Barry and the Giants have essentially made up. Really nice long tweet. Let me read it. Seven-time MVP, 14-time All-Star, yada, yada, yada. They list all his accolades. His incredible talent and immediate impact when he signed with the Giants in 1993 sparked not only a baseball renaissance in San Fran, but also helped pave the way for building Oracle Park in 2000. We remain hopeful that he will gain election into the National Baseball Hall of Fame through the next phase of the voting process. Gee, imagine that. A club in which the superstar played for, supporting that superstar in a time when he might need it. I loved seeing that from the Giants. I absolutely loved it. That's how it should be. An organization that meant so much to him and vice versa, standing behind one another now. Sammy Sosa needs to be welcomed back to Wrigley Field, period. To throw a pitch, to sit in the stands, to wave to the crowd during the game on the video board. Apologize to them. I'm not sure about that. Unless the Cubs organization is not telling us something as fans, I just don't know. Yeah, the boombox was loud in the clubhouse, and he wasn't always the easiest to get along with. We've heard that from multiple sources. I'm over it. What a novel idea to have the organization that you delighted for so many years actually stand behind you. If no Cooperstown for Sammy, one of the best players of his generation, at least bring him home. Let us embrace the guy that was the face of the Chicago Cubs for as long as he was, or at least tell us why you don't really care to. That's it. I'm done. I promise you I'm off my soapbox. And again, David Ortiz, congratulations. You are so deserving of the Baseball Hall of Fame. How cool is that? Red Sox Nation must be pumped. Lockout update. We have news this week, and it's not all bad for the first time in 6 weeks, so that's great. Before we update you on that, I want to talk about Built Bar. You've heard us talk about it at length here on Locked On Cubs. They're really good. If you haven't tried them, I suggest you do so. If part of your New Year's resolution is to get in shape and eat better, incorporate Built Bar into your new meal plan. Most Built Bars have just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. If you're not familiar with like the macronutrients of eating, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, super low, 17 grams of protein, super high, through the roof, as a matter of fact. There's so many flavors, you're not going to get tired of any of them. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, to name a few. In fact, Built Bar is actually always coming out with new limited time flavors too. So check Built.com today. Go ahead and place an order. Use our special promo code. It's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. LOCKED15 is going to get you 15% off your first order at Built.com. Try it today. I think you'll like it. CBA updates around the corner. Welcome back in, Cubs fans. This is Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Andrew Bellison. Thank you for taking the time out today to make Locked On Cubs your first listen each and every morning. It means the world to me, seriously. I can't thank you enough. Find us wherever you download your favorite podcast. We're always free and always available. At Locked On Cubs on Twitter, at Chicago Cubs PA. Check us out on YouTube as well. If you haven't done that, we have a YouTube channel. Would love your subscription. That way you can stare at me and listen to me ramble. It's two for one, huh? Our second segment today is all about the lockout and Major League Baseball's attempt to patch this thing up with the players' union and the owners so we can have baseball on time The clock is ticking. Spring training pitchers and catchers would normally be set to report in just about 2.5 weeks from now. There has been more effort by the league to hash this baby out this week. Two face-to-face meetings and progress was made. I'm going to run down some of the issues that were conceded, some of the issues that were discussed, and how it relates to us and what it means in terms of hopefully ending this CBA lockout and coming to an agreement on a new collective bargaining agreement. So Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association met for a second straight day. This was earlier in the week, with the league making a significant move to create a path to make a deal. So one day after the Players Association rejected the league's proposal that included significant increases in pay for players with 2+ years of service time, a plan that included the best players earning even more in bonuses based on performance, Major League Baseball returned then with a proposal based on framework initially presented by the Players Association, according to a source. So good news. They are starting to concede a little bit. Let's find that middle ground here, see what we can do. The league itself proposed a centrally funded bonus pool for the best pre-arbitration players, which would reward those top pre-arbitration players in the game up to 4 times their salary. In addition to this, there would be a significant increase in the league's minimum salary, which has been a hot button topic over the last couple of years, resulting in young players being paid more prior to their arbitration eligibility. So let me give you an example of what this means. According to a source, if this plan had been in place already here in 2021 or for the 2021 season, National League Cy Young winner Corbin Burns of the Brewers would jump from making $608,000 to $2.34 million last year. So 4 times, while AL MVP runner-up Vlad Guerrero Jr. would have seen an increase from $635,000 salary to $1.8 million based on those incentives. This is how it would look under this proposed new plan. This is huge, this next one. The Major League Baseball Players Association also dropped its demand for a change to 6-year free agent eligibility on Monday, which marked progress in the talks. This goes along with that KB service time issue and holding guys back. So for them to drop that demand out of their bargaining, that is a big deal. The league's proposal includes higher minimum salaries, access to early career bonuses, as well as an increase in the CBT threshold. The league's proposal is also designed to make it more likely for top prospects to earn a full year of service time in their first season. Under the proposal, players would receive a minimum of $258,500 more over their first 3 years of service, which represents a 15% raise from the current figures. Clubs would also earn draft picks if top prospects get a full year of service in their rookie season and subsequently receive award recognition. I mean, this is a big deal. The other issue was the expanded postseason, which the owners want because it dictates more revenue. Understandable. Major League Baseball's expanded postseason plan would increase players' postseason shares by approximately $20 million as 60% of gate receipts from the new first round of the postseason would be added to the players' postseason shares. So that's a big deal. As we can see, it's money, 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 but it's progress, progress, progress to this point. And meeting face-to-face has really opened up the dialogue again to make some headway, hopefully, because the clock is ticking. So let's keep our fingers crossed here. What does this mean for us as baseball fans? Well, as we know, spring training tickets are on sale already. The Cubs today announced that group tickets, ticket packs are on the market as well. Where are we headed here in terms of the season? Pitchers and catchers always reporting right around Valentine's Day. That puts us about 2.5 weeks out. Is that possible? I don't know. Keep in mind, after this lockout is over, it's very likely that we need to pick up the Major League Baseball offseason where we left off before anything else with the season can progress. Does that make sense? We're still talking free agent signings and whatnot, and we haven't even gotten to the end of the offseason because it was so interrupted. Bottom line, we were quiet, crickets, for 6 weeks. Now, face-to-face at the table hashing things out. It's good news. Deal done? Not yet. Closer? Yes. Still issues to address? Yes. But as you can see, there's been concessions on both sides and agreement on some issues, which means things are clearly moving forward. Where's your favorite place to go in Wrigleyville before the game? How about after the game? I've got some of mine. I've been sharing them with you over the last several episodes. Our list is going to roll on here in a moment. Before we get to that, I'd like to remind you that BetOnline wants to wish you a happy new year betting as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action in 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and take advantage of their promo offer. A 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is use promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, UFC, to boxing, all of your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all of these amazing offers BetOnline has available. BetOnline, fastest, easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. Locked On Cubs continues next. Welcome back into Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Andrew Bellison. Thanks for being with us again today. Such a pleasure to have you along. Thank you for letting me tag along with you. Find us wherever you download your favorite podcast, always free and always available. I look forward to talking with you about hopefully resuming baseball. As we saw, there's some good news on the CBA front and the bargaining progress made between the Players Association and the league after all was quiet for 6 weeks. So hoping for the best moving forward. We'll keep you updated on that throughout the week and into next week as well, whenever we have news. Well, we've been touring Wrigleyville. So many great spots to eat, drink before the game, after the game, et cetera, et cetera. This is a fun segment for me because I'm a foodie at heart. I love to eat. I don't eat everything that I want to because I try to watch, but there's so many great places in Wrigleyville. I want to hear about your favorites. Let me know on Twitter at Chicago Cubs PA at Locked On Cubs for the show. How about Lucky's Sandwich Company? Have you been to Lucky's in Wrigleyville? Goes back to 2004. It's a beloved sandwich emporium, old-fashioned ambiance, super casual. As the name suggests, not much to the place outside of ridiculously, and I mean ridiculously large and utterly delicious deli sandwiches stuffed with French fries and paired with a great selection of cold brews. It is a great sandwich and a brew spot. If you've been to Primanti Brothers or are familiar with Primanti Brothers in Pittsburgh, this is the same kind of thing. These sandwiches are giant, stacked high, loaded with lettuce, tomato, onion, French fries, all piled high right on the sandwich. If you're really hungry before or after a game, take the Lucky's challenge. Try your luck at tackling three of these sandwiches. You get an hour to do it. Three in an hour, and you get a t-shirt and a Wall of Fame photo. Good luck with that. I wouldn't suggest it, but definitely get a couple, share them with some friends. You will love it if you haven't been. Highly suggest it. Looking for a place to have a little cocktail after the game? G-Man Tavern might be your spot. Spent plenty of hours here back in the day. It's long regarded as one of the only cool bars along Wrigleyville's Clark Street. It's a hipster-approved joint owned by Metro's Joe Shanahan. And sometimes they're more concerned, you know, with who's taking the stage next door than who's playing with Wrigley, but it works. It's walking distance to the ballpark, super chill spot, shoot some pool, have a little cocktail, see a live band. Having appeared in The Color of Money and calling itself the last bastion of Bohemia on North Clark Street, what this place lacks maybe in major league enthusiasm sometimes makes up for significantly in real street cred. Plus, like I said, it's just a short walk down the street to the ballpark. It's a must stop, casual hangout before or after a ball game. Such a great spot. Good friends, great people. One of my faves. Thank you so much for stopping by again today. It's been a pleasure to share this last half hour or so with you. Again, great stuff coming up next week. We have a awesome interview with Brett Taylor of Bleacher Nation. We'll continue to update you on the CBA progress as well. So Until next time, thanks for tuning in. I'm Andrew Bellison. This has been Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.